Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. I'm glad you've joined us for the Bible study tonight, and I hope that you'll take your Bible and follow along in the Scriptures as we once again look at some keys to understanding your Bible. This broadcast is a ministry of Grace Bible Church out on 3827 Hickson Pike in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we would invite you to come and join us for our services. The time of the services will be given to you at the end of the broadcast, and I want to personally extend an invitation to you to come and visit with us at Grace Bible Church. Over the last several weeks, we've been studying the revelations given to the Apostle Paul. And in many instances in studying those things, we've seen that the revelation given to Paul differs somewhat from the revelation that we find that was given to Peter, James, and John, and the 12 apostles. And what we want to do tonight is to begin a new study, a new series of studies on the teachings of Christ. You see, many times when you teach people about the revelations given to Paul and you teach people about the differences in the kingdom doctrine and grace doctrine, they begin to think that you put more emphasis on Paul than you do than the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's not our intent. We're told in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our intent in these Bible studies is to give you information that will help you to understand your Bible. As I've mentioned many times on the broadcast, there's many people that have the idea that the Bible is some deep, dark, mysterious book, and it's hard to be understood. And while there are things that are somewhat hard to understand, the majority of the Bible is written in a way that 6th or 7th grade English, as I've taught before. And so people can read and understand the Bible, but there are certain keys to understanding the Bible. We've got a chart that we use throughout the broadcast, and on the chart, it outlines the way that the New Testament is laid out. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John obviously deal primarily with the first coming of Jesus Christ and His earthly ministry. During that time, Jesus Christ, according to Matthew 4, preached the gospel of the kingdom. He taught the 12 to preach that gospel. He was sent to Israel, and during that time, the law of Moses was observed. Jesus Christ is crucified, and after His death, in Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, He has 12 disciples that carry out the same ministry that He was carrying out back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But over in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved, and so the next 13 books in your Bible are written by Paul. And those epistles are the epistles written to the church, the body of Christ. Then we have what are called the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation, and the doctrine in those books will match the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the answer or the real answer to how can you understand your Bible is to rightly divide the word of truth. And what we mean by that is to distinguish the doctrine that was given to the 12 and that was associated with the nation Israel and the coming kingdom upon earth, to distinguish that doctrine from the doctrine that was for the church, the body of Christ. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're calling this series of studies the teachings of Christ. And we want to look at that in three areas, really. The past teachings of Christ, the present teachings of Christ, and the future teachings of Christ. You see, the fact is that all of the Bible, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. And, you know, a lot of times people have a tendency to put more stock in the words. Many Bibles have what are called the red letter edition. And they have the words of Jesus in red letters. And so people have been taught and people have the idea that the words of Jesus are more significant and more important than the rest of the writings in the Bible. But what I want you to see through these studies is that all of the Bible is the Word of God. In the New Testament, all the teachings there are the teachings of Jesus Christ. But they are to different people at different times. So, in the first study tonight, what we want to look at are the past teachings of Christ. Because even though many times people will say, and people will try to make others believe that they believe in following the teachings of Jesus, what we find out is if you look at the most of religion today, what happens is that people say that, but they don't really put it in practice. And I'm going to show you some scripture tonight that very few people who say they follow Jesus in his teachings, his past teachings in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are many scriptures there that indicate that they don't really follow all of those teachings. And so we're not to pick and choose. The answer is that those teachings were associated with the nation Israel and had to do with the kingdom program, whereas the teachings given through the Apostle Paul, which were also the teachings of Christ, are for the church, the body of Christ. Now in Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." It's interesting there, and it's very important that we understand that when Jesus Christ came at a time when the nation Israel was under the law. The law was that information and that document given to Moses, and it included far more than just the Ten Commandments. It included the statutes and the judgments and all the things that controlled and governed the life of Israel. Back in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ said there, "I think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So Jesus Christ was born under the law. Jesus Christ said that He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law. And over in Matthew chapter 23, we find that Jesus Christ, in teaching the disciples to carry out the ministry after He is gone from the earth, He tells them in Matthew 23, verse 1, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Now, it's obvious that those that sat in Moses' seat were the teachers of the law. The Pharisees were teachers of the law. And so Jesus Christ does not tell the disciples to disobey that law. He does not tell them to rebel against that law. He says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Why did He teach them that? Because He was born under the law. He came to fulfill the law, and He specifically instructed them to keep the law. Now, in contrast, in Romans chapter 17, the Apostle Paul said, we're not under the law. And so today, much of religion centers around keeping the law, and in order to teach that doctrine, they teach that from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that doctrine of law-keeping, again, is associated strictly with the nation Israel. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 15, there is a woman that comes to Jesus Christ and ask Him to heal her daughter. Let's read there in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now notice that Jesus Christ, in this particular point in His ministry, is not seeking out Gentile converts. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Back in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus Christ sends out the 12 to preach the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 10:5, the Bible says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And He says, "And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, there we see that there are 12 men sent forth. They are sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to Gentiles, not to the Gentile nations, but to Israel. And as they go, they're to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That is, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Associated with that gospel are certain signs and wonders. He says in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now today there are people that claim to have those same gifts and they claim those promises. And yet they only practice some of them. For example, he says there, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. You see, these signs and wonders were associated with the ministry of the 12 and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they go out preaching this gospel of the kingdom, they have these powers, these miraculous powers, because God always dealt with the nation of Israel on the basis of miracles, signs, and wonders. And you can read about that in Mark chapter 16, the commission there. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. So Jesus Christ, born under the law, said he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He taught his disciples to keep the law. He stressed the importance of that law, and he also taught them that their ministry was to the Jewish nation, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as was his own ministry. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15 says in verse 8 there, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. The circumcision, obviously, were Jews. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham and began with Abraham, the Jewish nation. He had on the eighth day Abraham circumcised, and after that, every male child was to be circumcised on the eighth day. Israel, in the Bible, is called the circumcision. Well, the Apostle Paul, in speaking about Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 15, says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Isn't that interesting that Jesus Christ himself said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He sent the disciples and said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the Apostle Paul, who at one time did not even believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, now acknowledges that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And he says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So we see there a very clear statement about the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. It was to the Jews. It was to the nation Israel. It was under the law. And so the teachings of Jesus Christ that we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are teachings that are associated and are directly to the nation Israel. If you would, if you have your Bible, I hope that you're following along in the Scriptures. If not, maybe you can just jot these down as we go along. But I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 5, there is, beginning with Matthew 5, for three chapters, there is a sermon that Jesus Christ preaches, or there are some teachings of Jesus Christ that are called the Sermon on the Mount. It's interesting that these teachings were directed at the disciples. It says in verse 1 of Matthew 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now, these are teachings that are directed at the disciples, and these teachings are to instruct them what they are to teach, and they are related to the kingdom. As a matter of fact, the very first thing he says is in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has to do with God's rule upon the earth. The kingdom of heaven is when Jesus Christ is going to sit upon the throne of David and is going to rule over this earth. And Peter asked him in Matthew chapter 19, he said, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come and sit upon the throne of his glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice again, all of the information is related to Israel. They're going to sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And during that reign, salvation will be available throughout the earth through the nation Israel, as the teachings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John indicate. As a matter of fact, in verse 5 of Matthew 5, Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Another blessing that is associated directly with the nation Israel. The church, the body of Christ, Paul says, our inheritance is far above all heavens. He said, we've been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so the blessings that are associated with Israel have to do with an earthly kingdom. They will inherit the earth. And there, all of these things that you read down through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 have to do with kingdom doctrine and the nation Israel. Now, as I said in the beginning, many times people will take just portions of the Scripture and they will use those and they will try to apply those to their life and they'll try to teach those things to other people in order to get them to follow that doctrine. And they put a lot of emphasis, again, upon the teachings of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and upon the red letters or the words of Jesus Christ. And those are very important. But it's also very important to acknowledge and understand who those things are written to. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 27, a passage here that very few people have put literally into practice. Now, I know that I was in a denominational system for some time, and there are sort of standard answers that people have for these scriptures. But I want you to understand that there is a great need today for people to believe the Bible means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. When you begin to change scriptures and say what it really means is this, then you open the door for all kind of interpretation of the scriptures, and that's where all the differences come from in the scriptures. Our intention on this broadcast is to teach you the Word of God, rightly divided, and to instill in you the fact that you can believe that the Bible means exactly what it says without contradiction, but you have to distinguish between who's being written to, what's being said, who the writer is, and so forth. In Matthew 5, verse 27, Jesus Christ speaking says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right eye offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Now, I doubt seriously if there are people today that say that they believe in following the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that have put that verse in practice. I don't really know of anybody. There might have been some extreme instances where people have tried to do this. But the fact is that these teachings have to do with life in the kingdom. And it's when judgment is swift. The Bible says that during that kingdom, Jesus Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. And he says it's better that you pluck your eye out or cut your hand off than to be cast into hell or the lake of fire. Judgment is swift during that millennial reign, and these things have to do with that kingdom. As a matter of fact, over in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 10, when Jesus Christ is teaching the disciples to pray, he says there in verse 10, "To pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And notice down in verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now again, this causes great concern among people that read and study the Bible, because in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, "Christ hath forgiven you all trespasses." You see, forgiveness today in the dispensation of grace is not dependent upon being baptized. It's not dependent upon forgiving somebody else. It's dependent upon trusting in the one who died on the cross and paid for all of your sins. So Jesus Christ said, "If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And yet we have a verse of Scripture that says, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses to us." You see, it's a wonderful thing to live in the dispensation of grace. It's even more wonderful to understand the doctrine that is associated with us today and not try to mix the two, which ends up in confusion. Why, many people today go over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they read the verses over there, and it causes great confusion about their salvation. In Matthew 19, Jesus Christ was asked the question, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And he said, "Keep the commandments." Well, I certainly would not tell people today to keep the commandments in order to have eternal life. Why? Because the revelation given to Paul in Romans through Philemon tells us we're not under the law, and it tells us that Christ died for our sins, was buried and was raised again the third day, and he says he was raised for our justification. And so there is a difference. Whereas Jesus Christ taught one thing, he later gave the revelation to the Apostle Paul, and Paul taught some things that were in direct contradiction to what were taught as far as the kingdom program. Why? Because there was a change in program. The door of salvation was open to all men, and we're going to look at that next week as we look about at the things concerning the revelation given to Paul. But continuing there in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 19, as he continues to teach the disciples, he says there in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Now, I would venture to say that probably 99% of the preachers that preach that they believe in following the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, following the footsteps of Jesus, following the words of Jesus, probably have savings accounts, probably have checking accounts, have banking accounts, and they do lay up treasures upon earth, and they do have money stored up, and yet he says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Why is that? Because in that kingdom, in that millennial reign, there will be no need for them to have personal goods because Jesus Christ will provide. Down in verse 25 in the same chapter, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" You see, there are people today do not follow that. He says, take no thought for your life. Well, you know what the Apostle Paul said in relation to that? He said, if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. You see, folks, it becomes very clear when you begin to read through the Bible and when you read the New Testament, and that's exactly what happened to me some 25 years ago. I began to read and study the Bible, and I was in a denominational system at that time. And as I began to read and study the Bible, I found that what I had been taught, most of it was in error. And I began to see that there was a difference in the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the first part of Acts and the doctrine in Romans through Philemon. And that's why it's so important that we preach and teach these things, because that is the key to understanding your Bible. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Christ said in verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Well, that's a direct command concerning prayer. And while we do pray today and we're instructed to pray, we do not have that promise that whatsoever we ask shall be given us. Well, we know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, three times the Lord, Paul besought the Lord that the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, that buffeted him might be removed. And God said, no, I'm not going to do that. My grace is sufficient. That's not to say that God does not answer prayer. He does. But the fact is that we don't have that same promise that whatsoever we ask, we shall receive. And so you see, as you go through the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, sure we are to study those books. Sure we're to read those books. And we're to try to understand, we are to understand those things. But you know, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." The way that we can really understand what these things mean and the intent in the doctrine there and who it's for and so forth is by considering what the Apostle Paul has to say, because he is our apostle. Now, as we close out the broadcast today, I want to mention to you that, and we'll go into more detail on this in a later broadcast, but Jesus Christ, when he went forth preaching under the law, born under the law, said he came to fulfill the law, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. That gospel included many things. It was to keep the commandments. Matthew chapter 3, John came forth preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. We find that in Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And so water baptism was an integral part of the gospel. When Paul came forth, he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And he identified what that gospel was. And it's very clear. As a matter of fact, Paul said his fear was that people would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in the gospel. What is that gospel? That gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. He said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. In Romans 1, 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You may be listening to this broadcast and you may realize that you never heard the gospel that I just quoted there from 1 Corinthians 15 before you walked the aisle or got baptized or did some religious act. And the good news for you tonight is that there is nothing that you have to do in your flesh in order to be saved. All you have to do is trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel. Believe those facts that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and trust Him alone. And you don't have to worry about whether you've been baptized or joined the church or turned over a new leaf or gotten better. All you need to do is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive Him as your Savior, and you can be saved today. That's the good news of the gospel for the dispensation of the grace of God.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.